Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're finally here, and we're going to do our program on sex scandals. So, how do you think people get into trouble with sex scandals? Well, first of all, they get into trouble with sex scandals because of pride. I would say pride is a big one. And the Bible says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Galatians 6:3, here's a good one. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There's a whole lot of that going on, isn't there? People always want to be lifted up, and then they start believing their own press. And just because God gives us his word and he lets us talk about it, basically he lets us read from his word to other people, well, that doesn't make us anything special, really. It's just a gift some people have for teaching, and some people have a gift for preaching. So it's a gift. It's not something anybody should get lifted up over, but of course we see it all the time, and people want, they want their titles, and they want to be lifted up, and you have to give them birthday presents, Pastor Appreciation Day, Pastor's birthday, Pastor gets a Mercedes Benz for his birthday or whatever, and you're riding the bus. So don't ever think that you're more than you are, because we're nothing without Jesus. Where would we be, really? We were all lost and undone without God and his son, for sure. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Oh, yeah, we hear a lot of that in so many pulpits today. People going on and on about all their accomplishments, and there's nothing wrong with having accomplishments. Of course, everyone has their gifts and everyone has their calling, so there's nothing wrong with accomplishments. But as far as bragging and then trying to make yourself something special because you have accomplishments, it's, the Bible says, don't use your own lips to praise yourself. Because, you know, as soon as you start lifting yourself up, then you realize how flaky you can really be. We're all still working out our salvation, amen, with fear and trembling. None of us have arrived. Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Oh, that's so true. Now, we know that there's been some sex scandals lately. So many of them, especially people in entertainment, people in the media. And wow, are they surprised? Are they surprised that they're being called on the carpet the way they are, right? Because the Bible says that your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. And in the case, in so many cases recently, especially, look at this guy, Harvey Weinstein. Now, this was like a real big wig over there in Hollywood. He was rich. He was famous. He had it going on, but he couldn't control himself. He could not control his lust. And so what happened? He gets he uses his power and his money and his fame to seduce women. And not in a nice way either. Not in a nice way. And so there were so many women, and for a long time they kept quiet about it because, of course, in Hollywood, and it's the same thing in church circles, church politics, like a person like myself, because I'm so outspoken, I don't get invitations to go to churches to speak in, and most conferences. I wouldn't get invitations to go because it's too political. You have to play the political game, and you can't call people out when you're trying to climb the ladder, so called, of success in the ministry. You have to be nice. But then again, you're responsible for telling people the truth. So what's more important is climbing the ladder of success and having a big public ministry, having a big television ministry, whatever, and being invited to all the conferences, or standing on the truth of God's word and speaking out against heresy, speaking out against the things that are disturbing. And I imagine that they're very disturbing to God when God sees people that call themselves ministers of the gospel, and yet they take advantage of people the way they do. So we see that politics in Hollywood too, they play politics there. So there was a lot of these things going on, pedophilia and with the children, women having to basically sell themselves to get these parts. But it's kind of ironic too, because if women want to be treated with respect, then we have to carry ourselves a certain way. We have to dress modestly. And you can't appear in a movie and not have any clothes on, you know. You want to be treated with respect. And then some of the things that they make women say, I was looking at this movie the other day. It was an older movie, well, maybe from the 1950s, I would say. And it had Jimmy Stewart in it and I think Ann Baxter. Anyway, it was like a real creepy looking movie. The makeup was horrible. They looked terrible. It was like a Western movie. And then all of a sudden, now I wasn't really watching this movie. I was like skimming through, and I said, wow, that's a bad looking Jimmy Stewart over there. So anyway, I stopped to look at it, and then I saw this lady, and I'm saying to myself, who's that? And it was this old time actress, Ann Baxter, and her makeup was looked ridiculous too in this movie. But anyway, she, all of a sudden this thing comes out of her mouth. I won't even repeat it. I couldn't even believe she said it. But to have a career, when you think about some of these people, that they have a long career in Hollywood, which is hard to do. Most people don't have long careers in Hollywood. Most people come and go. After 2 years, they're gone. You don't really hear about them too much anymore. But here these people have had long careers, Jimmy Stewart and Ann Baxter, and then they wind up in this creepy-looking Western movie, and they give her this line to say, and instead of saying, "I'm not going to say that," she says it. And why? Because of money. So a lot of the women in Hollywood, they do things, they commit adultery basically on the screen. They might be married, but then they're kissing some other man that's not their husband, and doing sex scenes with people that aren't their husband. And then they want respect. Well, it's hard to respect somebody that compromises. So if you want respect, you have to earn it, really, in a sense. And so it's such a perverted society, really, in Hollywood. You even see one time, I think, even the wife of Steven Spielberg, his wife was in playing a homosexual in a movie. Now, why? Why would you even want to do that? Why would you want to do that when you're a married woman with children? And the thing is, she didn't have to do it because she doesn't need the money. That's for sure. He's loaded. So it's a very, very perverted society there. But of course, sexual harassment has no place in the workplace. It really doesn't. But it's so prevalent. And it really makes women feel uncomfortable. Nobody likes it, really. Nobody likes it, but it's the unsaved human nature, and especially with men that have a lot of power, and then they abuse their power, and it's very abusive. So you could imagine that here's this guy Harvey Weinstein. Well, he never thinks he's going to take a fall because he's so puffed up with pride. I'm Harvey Weinstein. And so what happens? Wow. He took a big fall, didn't he? I think he lost his company. And there's a possibility that he might be arrested for some of the sexual assaults that he's perpetrated against women. So it's a mighty, mighty fall. And I don't think he ever thought he was going to see that day, that's for sure. But Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Well, that's what happened with Harvey Weinstein. He gloried in his riches and in his position. And then in one day, it was all gone. His good name, company. And I'm sure it's been very, very costly for him. Look at Matt Lauer. Now, Matt Lauer, he never thought he was going to get up in the morning probably and be fired. Or if they fired him the night before, I think they fired him the morning or the night before the Today Show was going on the air. Another thing that they did to him was he was getting a $30 million severance or something he was supposed to get. they took it away from him. $30 million. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And you know what? Matt Lauer is never going to make that kind of money again. No. Never. He really is, to me, I never liked him as a journalist or as a newscaster. I don't care for him. I don't like his speaking voice. I don't really think he's got the it factor, in my book anyway, for journalism. But he was there for a long, long time on the Today Show. And then he's gone. He's gone. And why? Of course, they say, well, they didn't really know. Well, how did they not know? I mean, the guy has in his office, he's got a lock on his door that it's got a keypad on the inside, so nobody can get in. Nobody can get in. And there was also some video of him harassing women. He just let everything go to his head. And then he wasn't even thinking anymore. He was just, he just was doing whatever he wanted to do because he was getting away with it. And he wasn't thinking about the consequences. Eventually, your sin finds you out. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I expect that in the days ahead, we're going to see a lot more sex scandals in the church. There was one that just came up a few days ago with Ravi Zacharias. Now, you wouldn't think, looking at this guy, Ravi Zacharias, he looks very conservative and seems like he's a man that has good morals. But anyway, it looks like he might have been involved. I don't know if he was actually ever involved physically with this woman, but if you want to go online, there's a man, supposedly he's an atheist, I think, but he's an attorney. Anyway, he's got a website where he talks about some of these TV preachers, but he found the court documents for this lawsuit that was actually filed by Ravi Zacharias, because the woman that he was involved with online, somebody that I think he knew, and then they got involved in this thing online, and she was sending him pictures or whatever. Anyway, it seems like her and her husband, she was married. I think he's married too. But her and her husband decided that they were going to ask him for $5 million. Hush money, hush money, they said. Now, these things, I think sometimes these things are setups because people think you have a little bit of money. And I'm sure he's got a good amount of money. His ministry, he's got a big ministry, so he probably takes in millions of dollars every year. So they say, well, we need some money, so let's put the hustle on him. And maybe she liked him for real. Who knows? I don't know. But it seems like it probably was a setup, because now they were asking for $5 million in hush money. And then so Ravi had to come clean somehow, some way. I don't know how clean he ever came, but he had to file a lawsuit against them. And to say that they were trying to extort money from him. And so then he had to put it in the court documents. But you can look up the court documents online. They are public, so it's a true story. And anyway, he apologizes. I guess he had to apologize to his board or whatever. But I guess the story's probably going to grow. The story's probably going to grow. But and then a friend of mine on Facebook, she was saying something about Mike Murdoch. The fire department had to give him a citation because he has a bed in his office. Well, you know, Mike Murdoch. I mean, just look at, when you look at Mike Murdoch, he looks like he needs to take a bath. So that's a very immoral man. He's a very immoral man. But I expect in the days ahead, we're going to hear a lot more stories, because it seems like when things happen in the world, they happen first in the world and then they're going to happen in the church. That the exposure that's happening with all the accusations coming forward about Matt Lauer, Kevin Spacey, the actor. Oh, dear. That's another one that couldn't control himself. And I guess he pretended to be straight for a while, but he was really gay. I thought he was gay. But anyway, he finally said he was gay, and but he had been totally inappropriate with underage males in some plays that he was in, and yeah, he just let his fame go to his head totally. But we're going to see some things, and you'll be shocked at some of the things that are going to come out, I believe, in the days ahead. But I think that God's going to clean house. And a lot of these people that I believe the Lord will expose, he's given them so much of an opportunity to repent and to get their lives right, but they won't do it. They won't do it. And so then judgment. Or not. Isn't it better to repent in your secret place with God than to have it broadcast on the evening news? But that's what God will do. The Bible says your sin will find you out, and it'll find you out big time. And then it's so awful. It's so awful. But God in his mercy, he gives people so much of an opportunity to get their lives right before he finally just exposes the whole thing. So expect a lot of things to come out, and it'll be good for the body of Christ, really. The Bible says that we're supposed to know those that labor among us. So we want to know who people are. We want to know that they have high morals. It's important to have integrity and to have good moral values when you're in the ministry. So you want to be able to trust your pastor and your youth pastor and the people there in the church. Anyway, Romans 1:27 says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat." And that's talking about homosexuality. And I think there's a lot of homosexuals that claim to be Christians, and they hold leadership positions. And some of these people are going to be in for a very rude awakening. Very rude awakening when it all comes out. And it's going to be shocking and ugly, but it has to be done. We went through a period like that, remember? In the mid, like 1987, was that the year that Jim Baker had the scandal, and then it was Jimmy Swaggart, and then it was like boom, boom, boom. There was all of these scandals of people that we had known and probably respected at the time. Oh, it was so awful. Oh, it was so awful. Just awful. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Ooh, I don't want to be, I wouldn't want to be in that judgment, that's for sure. I wouldn't want to be in that judgment. Anyway, let's listen to a few audio here about Matt Lauer being fired.
This is a sad morning here at Today and at NBC News. Just moments ago, NBC News Chairman Andy Lack sent the following note to our organization. Dear colleagues, on Monday night, we received a detailed complaint from a colleague about inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace by Matt Lauer. And we just learned this moments ago, just this morning. As I'm sure you can imagine, we are devastated and we are still processing all of this. And I will tell you right now, we do not know more than what I just shared with you. But we will be covering this story as reporters, as journalists. I'm sure we will be learning more details in the hours and days to come. And we promise we will share that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in for
a sad morning here today.
When he got up that morning, he was in for a big surprise, Matt, and costly, like Bill O'Reilly. It was Bill O'Reilly. He had the number one television program on cable news for years. He was making, I don't know, $20 million, $30 million. He was making a lot of money. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. It's gone. And they didn't care. Bill O'Reilly, it's too costly to cover this thing up and to pay all these women off. I don't know what went on with Bill O'Reilly. He denies it, so I don't know. I don't know what went on there. But anyway, he lost his job. And then there was some other people that got fired from Fox News. And then they fired that guy, Charlie Rose. I think he was on NPR. Now, he probably never thought he was going to get fired either, right? No, he never thought he was going to get fired. Nope. Anyway, let's listen to Bette Midler talking about Geraldo.
Not funny. Shall I tell you?
Why not?
Well, no, I better not. I'm going to get in trouble. It was very
getting
unpleasant.
A little trouble.
Okay, getting a little trouble. Well, Geraldo and his producer came to do an interview with me in the 70s, the early 70s. And this is when he was very sort of hot. And he and his producer left the crew in the other room. They pushed me into my bathroom. They broke two poppers and pushed them under my nose and proceeded to grope me. And I didn't have any
idea.
Grope me. I did not offer myself up on the altar of Geraldo Rivera. He was unseemly. His behavior was unseemly.
And you don't remember.
And my friend says, oh, what a charmer. Of course you slept with him after that.
Well, let's go on to other things, shall we?
I'll tell you the truth. If I had known he was going to be so, he was going to, 20 years later, he was going to wind up a slimy talk show host, I never would have even let him in the room, you know. I mean, you have no way of knowing at the time that these things are going to come back to haunt you.
Anyway, I wonder if he got fired. I don't know if he got fired yet from Fox News, Geraldo. Shit, there's another one that let his fame go to his head. Just attacking a woman for no reason, sticking drugs under her nose. And a lot of them do that. They drug women. Look what Bill Cosby was doing. He was drugging all those women for all those years. For years. And he never got caught. And then when he's an old man, he's dragged into court and he has a trial. Even if he gets off on the charges, his life is ruined as far as his reputation, his good name. Your name means everything. You want a good name. And it's despicable. But a lot of these men do that. I don't know why. They have wives. He has a beautiful wife. And yet his behavior was so unseemly. And so is Geraldo. Oof. Anyway, a lot of these people, they get interested, and they say, well, this is an addiction. Well, it's an addiction that you give to yourself, a pornography addiction. And a lot of these people, they get into pornography, so then they get addicted to that, and then they start acting out. Most of the time, people will act out after they watch enough pornography, or they watch child pornography, and then they graduate to other things. That's why pornography is so deadly. It's a deadly thing. And it's something that you choose yourself to do. You choose yourself to do. Because here's 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God says he'll make a way of escape. So why are you sitting there looking at porn? Why? Proverbs 6:24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And that's usually how it is. Some woman will come along and she'll start telling you how nice you are. And oh, that wife of yours, she doesn't understand you. And you need to be careful about flattery. Get you into trouble. Get you into trouble. So I want to play these. Let me play this first. Here's Paula. Paula.
One big happy family. Wait till we get to your sex life. We're just starting right now. Trying to realize the kids are in here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Deb.
I think, too, women have to, don't have to, but women should look at a man and find out what turns him on. I mean, and you can talk about this. This is something that, you know, how freaky do you want to get? You know what I mean? And if you don't have that conversation with your man, if you don't have that conversation, then, you know, you're not fulfilling everything that he really truly wants. And so that this part, the sexual fulfillment, comes with deep study within each other. You have to look inside and say, what turns you on? You know, what is it that you like to do? And if you don't have that conversation, it's going to be broken sometime.
Now, why would any pastor get up on a Sunday morning and talk like that to the congregation? That's Paula. Paula White and her husband, Jonathan Kane Friga. And they get up on a Sunday morning. This was a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago or so. They get up on a Sunday morning and there's children in the room. There's teenage boys in the room, teenage girls. And they get up and they tell you to watch porn. And, Paula, she kind of backtracks and she says, well, we don't watch porn. He doesn't watch porn without me. Then she says, well, what is it? You don't watch porn, or he doesn't watch porn without you? And then she says, we're not telling you to get addicted to porn, but we're telling you to get educated. Who gets educated? What Christian gets educated about married life by watching porn? That's one of the most perverted things I think I've ever heard, or the most perverted thing. I have to say that's the most perverted thing I ever heard coming from a pulpit of a so-called church, which is nothing but a fleecing center over there. And then you're going to wonder why the men in the church are having problems, especially the young men. Well, Mom, Paula and her husband said that we should watch porn if we need to learn about sex. Anyway, I don't want to hear about your sex life at church. The sex talk has no place in church. That's for counseling sessions or whatever, or between a husband and a wife. But I don't want to hear about your sex life in church. I'm not coming there to hear about that. Keep your sex life to yourself. Anyway, here's Ted Bundy. Now, here's Ted Bundy, a notorious serial killer who says that he got addicted to pornography at a young age, and that's what fed his lust later on to start killing women and raping women. Yeah. This was like a few days or the night before he got executed. He was executed here in the state of Florida. They killed him. And James Dobson interviewed him. And you could see the interview. Ew, he's creepy. He's really creepy to look at. But you can see the interview. It's on YouTube. Ted Bundy is interviewed before he dies by James Dobson. But here's what he has to say about pornography.
That I encountered outside the home again in the local grocery store, the local drugstore, the softcore pornography, what people call softcore. And it happened in stages, gradually. It doesn't necessarily, not to me at least, happen overnight. Once you become addicted to it, and I look at this as a kind of addiction, like other kinds of addiction, I would keep looking for more potent, more explicit, more graphic signs of material. Like an addiction, you keep craving something which is harder, something which gives you a greater sense of excitement. Again, I'm talking from personal experience, hard, real personal experience. Most damaging kinds of pornography are those that involve violence and sexual violence. Some people would say that, well, I've seen that stuff and it doesn't do anything to me. I wasn't a pervert in the sense that, you know, people look at somebody and say, I know there's something wrong with them and just tell. I mean, I was essentially a normal person. I had good friends. I led a normal life, except for this one small but very potent and very destructive segment of it that I kept very secret, very close to myself, and didn't let anybody know about it. I'm no social scientist, and I haven't done a survey. I mean, I don't pretend that I know what John Q. Citizen thinks about this. But I've lived in prison for a long time now, and I've met a lot of men who were motivated to commit violence just like me, and without exception, every one of them was deeply involved in pornography without question, without exception, deeply influenced and consumed by an addiction to pornography. There's no question about it. The FBI's own study on serial homicide shows that the most common interest among serial killers is pornography. And pornography can reach out and snatch a kid out of any house today. It snatched me out of my home 30 years ago, and as diligent as my parents were, and they were diligent in protecting their children, and as good a Christian home as we had, and we had a wonderful Christian home, there is no protection against the kinds of influences that are loose in the society that tolerates. There are kids sitting out there switching the TV dial around and come upon these movies late at night, or I don't know when they're on, but they're on, and any kid can watch them. It's scary when I think what would have happened to me if I had seen. That was scary enough. I mean, that I just ran into stuff outside the home, but to know that children are watching that kind of thing today, or can pick up their phone and dial away for it or send away for it. And let's come into the present now, because what I'm talking about happened 20, 30 years ago, that is, in my formative stages. And what scares and appalls me, Dr. Dobson, is what I see, what's on cable TV, some of the movies. I mean, some of the violence in the movies that come into homes today with stuff that they wouldn't show in X-rated adult theaters 30 years ago.
It's very true, isn't it? It's a frightening time that we live in, because people can watch pornography now. They can order it on their television. They can order it on their phone. I mean, people are watching it at work. People are getting caught watching pornography at work while they're working on their work computers. They don't even care that somebody else can find it. Oh, how awful it is, really. And then how awful it is to hear somebody that calls himself a pastor talking, telling people, and her husband telling people to watch porn. Oh, it's despicable. Anyway, here's another clip I want to play from Elizabeth Smart, the young girl that was kidnapped out of her bedroom. I think she was 14 when she was kidnapped, and she was missing, remember, for about 9 months. And this creepy guy, be careful who comes to work at your house. I'll tell you, be careful who comes to work at your house, because her father, he let this guy come and work at his house. He was homeless or whatever, and he let him come do some work, and he spotted Elizabeth. And he came back and he got her. He came back in the middle of the night and went and got through a window and went into her bedroom and took her at knife point, I think she said. And she was with this creepy guy for about 9 months or so when she was finally rescued. But here she is, and she's saying the same thing, that he was addicted to pornography.
And I remember he was kneeling above me, and he had this piece of metal cable, and he was wrapping it around my ankle and then crushing these bolts into place so that I couldn't escape. And that was the beginning of what turned into the longest 9 months of my life. So every time when I thought I'd hit rock bottom, my captor would find something new to make it worse. And one of those times, I had been forced to drink alcohol, and I had thrown up, and then I'd passed out face down. And I woke up the next morning, and my face and my hair were still all crusted to the ground, covered in vomit. And I remember at that point just feeling like, how can you get any lower than this? And it was just a few days later that my captor was really excited and really kind of amped up about something. And he said, oh, you know, I have something, and I'm going to show it to you, and you have to look at it. You have to look at it. And then I remember he pulled out this magazine full of hardcore pornography, and I remember he would just sit and look at it and stare at it, and he'd just talk about these women. And then when he was done, he would turn, and he'd look at me, and he'd be like, now, we're going to do this. It just led to him raping me more than he already did, which was a lot. Looking at pornography wasn't enough for him. Having sex with his wife after looking at pornography, it wasn't enough for him. And then it led him to finally going out and kidnapping me. He just always wanted more. I can't say that he would not have gone out and kidnapped me had he not looked at pornography. All I know is that pornography made my living hell worse.
So there you are. The Bible says that when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. So we have to control our passions as Christians. That's why we have temperance, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. You can't just do whatever you want to do. You wind up hurting yourself, and you wind up hurting somebody else. And you see the devastating effects of premarital sex, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, and lust can never be satisfied. So we're living in a crazy world today, I'll tell you. We are living in a crazy world, and we have to be so careful. The Bible says that we should be careful what our eyes see, and be careful what you watch on TV, because there's so much, really now on television, there's so much softcore pornography that you see. And, it's not on channels that you pay for either. But Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So you see, he's saying, yeah, I made a covenant with my eyes that I'm not going to use my eyes to go looking at women and then thinking about it. So anyway, expect the unexpected, I would say, in the near future. And we're going to stay strong, amen, and we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. And we're going to walk in integrity and honesty in the days ahead. It's so important that we stay on the straight and narrow path because there's so many temptations out there. The world has a strong pull on people. And it's like the Bible says, for truly the days are evil. And they are. The days are evil. We're living in evil days. And it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. So we just have to stay steadfast and stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're having trouble with pornography, you're having trouble with lust, Jesus Christ can deliver you. He can deliver you from all that. You don't have to live in that kind of hell. And it's like a living hell to be tormented day and night and be consumed with lust, and your lust can never be satisfied. And sometimes it drives people to suicide. But Jesus Christ can rescue you today. He can give you a brand new life, and old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. He's the only one that can help you to control your passions before you hurt yourself. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to give you a brand new life. He can do it. He's a savior. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother. Then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. And the book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you have to confess your sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to give you a brand new life. He'll give you a brand new life. And it's a wonderful life, the best life. God bless you, and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you Saturday, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven. Be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven. and there'll be no sorrow there.